We have no fear.
Part two. And a live welcome from above and Batman Beyond. We are live on our YouTube channel. I am your co-host, Benjamin David. What is up, Neo Gotham? Today is another live action, live episode, and we return with part two of my review for Zack Snyder's Justice League. To be clear, last episode was a review of the entire film, but for the chapter-by-chapter portion of the review, covering all 4 hours of Justice League was just impossible in one episode. So for today's episode, instead of doing our typical midweek pod clip, I thought I'd return for another live action live to finish out our chapter by chapter. Zack Snyder's highly anticipated Justice League started streaming on HBO Max on March 18th, but just like last episode, this is our spoiler review of the film, so please make sure you've seen all 4 hours of Justice League before listening to this episode. And also make sure you've seen part one of this review first, of course, before watching this episode. It's right here on our YouTube channel, so please consider subscribing and check it out. Today's show will also be available in audio podcast form, just like the YouTube channel we are above and Batman Beyond. So before we jump into it, if you're new here at the channel, please consider subscribing once again on YouTube. Click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. And for the podcast listeners, please subscribe to the pod. You can find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And for both the pod and YouTube audience, please subscribe to both, since there's plenty of YouTube stuff you're obviously not going to find on the podcast, and vice versa. Please also follow us on Instagram. We're at Batman Beyond Media, and we do frequent polls and Q's and A's on there, which we also bring into the YouTube channel and podcast shows, so be sure to follow us there as well. All right, guys, so let's go. Live, action, live, baby. All right, so let's check in with chat. Anybody on the chat, Patty chat? Got one person. What up, what up? All right, so chapter by chapter, part five. All right, guys, so once again, today we're just covering parts 5, 6, and the epilogue of ZSJL. It's harder to say that than Zack Snyder's Justice League. That is the chapter-by-chapter portion of our Justice League review. So don't forget to go back and check out part one of this same review to hear my overall thoughts on the film and a bunch more. It was almost a two-hour episode. You know, I did my initial thoughts of the film. Again, that was spoiler for like the third time. That was spoiler as well. So like, you know, I talked about the entire film. I just didn't do, again, this chapter by chapter part. So that's what we're going to do today for these last three parts, since this is a literal epic. So before we jump into today, I want to take back something about last time. And it is Mira's accent. Not good. Amber Heard did not do a good job with Mira's accent. She did, I think, like her voice work. I was mixing that up with I don't know. I have no excuse, especially since I do voice acting. I'm not British, in my defense. I will say that I didn't notice it until recent rewatches, and I also hadn't, to be fair, I also hadn't listened to any other reviews or watched any other reviews, because that's like my routine. I don't do that before doing my first review of anything. Since this is kind of a follow-up review, I have since heard other reviews. I like pounced on other reviews. I was like, I haven't heard anybody talk about this. I got to listen. And they pointed that out. I'm like, really? Let me check it out. And I'm like, oh yeah, wow. I was very wrong. So I was wrong about that. I also said something. This is another thing I caught immediately when I listened, was I said that Sarah Connor has to go back in time to kill Miles Dyson. She does not go back in time in Terminator 2 to kill Silas Stone in this movie. I believe his name is Joe Morton, the actor, and he plays, again, Silas Stone, which I was saying was perfect casting because he, whatever. Point is, I've seen Terminator 2 about 1,000,000,000 times, if that's a number. So don't question my Terminator cred, people. All right, so to today. Just want to clear that up about last time, in case you were questioning my geek cred. Right before chapter five, just to check into where we were, is the Martian Manhunter as Ma Kent, which once again, this is another thing, listening to other podcasts and reviews, people seem to like this less than I did. I get it. I like hearing their side of it, and it makes a good point that like, why wasn't Swastik, I think his name is, Swanstock, I forget the guy's name in the movie. But again, he's the same voice as that actor is the same voice as Black Manta, as I told you last episode for Justice League Throne of Atlantis. And great voice, great actor. Again, his name escapes me too. But yeah, they were him being a character in the previous movies. A lot of people were saying, well, why did, if you were Martian Manhunter this whole time, why didn't you act at all? And like, you've been here since Man of Steel, essentially, because I think that's when he first showed up. So that makes sense. You know, I didn't go back and watch Man of Steel. I'm not much of a fan of it, to be honest. I probably should have for this, especially if I'm going to review the movie. I am going to watch it now. But point is, excuses. I didn't realize that. And that's a good point to dislike this about Martian Manhunter. Like, why not just show up as General SWAT? I forget his name. But why not just show up as the general and say pretty much the same thing that Ma Kent said? And also, like, if Ma Kent sees you a couple weeks later, hey, thanks for coming to visit me. It's like, I didn't come visit you. So those are good points. I didn't really consider it. I was so excited to see Martian Manhunter. But those make sense. So that's just other stuff that I heard that I thought was interesting and that I don't disagree with. So chapter 5, the big thing is bringing back soups. Again, let's consider that for a Justice League movie, Superman doesn't show up until chapter 5 in this whole thing, and really truly like until chapter 6. Like, he doesn't even come to until chapter 6 of 6, minus an epilogue that's not very long. Right? So it's kind of like, I understand. I heard people's criticism since about that. I noticed it definitely throughout the movie. I even said it in part one of the review. But just, I guess we'll keep that in mind with today's episode. This is part two, but it's also part 5, 6 and an epilogue. Like, we're pretty much at the end and Superman's just coming back. So I understand that criticism as well. We're unearthing his body in the beginning of chapter 5. Again, we talked about some of this last episode. Barry, you know, saying to Cyborg, I wonder if she's into younger guys. He's like, she's 5,000 years old, Barry. Every guy's a younger guy. That's a good line. Then we get, of course, once he awakes, we get all the stuff with, oh, actually, no, I'm skipping. Because I did mention last episode, we got a mustache-free fight sequence against the Justice League. So, oh, yeah. All right. So I totally am skipping. We got the Star Labs break-in. Silas lets them in. I like that part where, like, the Justice League breaks in and Silas lets them in and is like, yeah, we're totally clear, and, like, lies to Star Labs over the radio. And then, of course, they, you know, break free Superman, which is nuts. And you have Aquaman. I like how everyone kind of has a job in this. So they go into the old they go into Superman's ship, which is at Star Labs. And of course, like, Silas Stone is overseeing the operation because he's like Xeno, whatever. But he just studies like alien tech, essentially. And so they go there, they set up shop and want to essentially mix the mother box, because the mother box, they determine, can, as Cyborg tells us, and between that and what Wonder Woman tells us, you know, it can essentially turn smoke back into a house, right? If you burn a house, all the particles turn to smoke. But what the mother box can do is the opposite. So essentially, they want to do that, and mixing that with I heard someone call it the amniotic fluid of the Superman ship, which is kind of gross. But essentially, it is Kryptonian amniotic fluid mixed with the mother box. Then they have, so again, everyone kind of has a job, right? Aquaman, of course, drops him into the fluid. Batman and Wonder Woman are kind of overseeing the whole thing. Cyborg is communicating with the ship. And then Barry Allen does they need like an electrical charge. So he's running around and doing circles in the whole thing. I liked how they made everyone count, which is, you know, essential in an ensemble and not easy to do. So, you know, we also get a scene here of Lois missing Clark in bed. Amy Adams kills it, man. You know, that is sad, dude, right? I mean, she is bereft. And I talked about in part one of the review that, you know, we never got a chance to mourn Superman. That's kind of important when our Moses character dies in our mythology. Like, we should be able to mourn this dude. And we don't really get to do that. because of reasons. And now we are. And it's cool to get sprinkles of Lois throughout this. And that's also maybe why I didn't feel like maybe that was the movie magic trick that Zack Snyder pulled on me, at least, was like I did feel the kind of not just the mourning of Clark, but I felt Clark's presence. And that's probably because of Amy Adams, you know, performance and then sprinkling in, you know, there's also 10 minute music videos with coffee and visiting graves. But anyway, that is Zack Snyder. We can't avoid those. And so, like, I liked getting these kind of check-ins with Lois Lane. She is bereft, right? She is completely grieving hardcore for this dude. And we got before I talked about part one with her holding the suit this time, or the cape. She got it in, like, that trunk. This time she reaches over in the bed. I mean, that's so sad. It's many of us have been there, right? When you break up with somebody, you kind of like, that's rough. For some people, it's like the nights are the worst. For some people, it's the mornings as you wake up and you think they're going to be there. Especially when you think Superman's going to be there, that's probably even worse. So this is was something we did not talk about in part one, and that is the pregnancy test. I noticed it the first time, even the first time. Then again, I watched it again. Rewatching it, so I guess number three for this, you know, obviously I noticed it again, but what I had heard, what was interesting, tuning in with you guys now, well, I'm so glad I get to go live and talk more about this, is that since then, once again, like I haven't heard reviews before that, but then hearing the other people talk about it, they were saying that some of this might be Clark's kid, well, obviously, or though, Batman's kid, like there's either rumors or Zack Snyder at one point said, I forget, don't quote me on this stuff, but like more than one person was saying that could be Batman's kid. Like we thought Superman was dead, so we got together. That is The Walking Dead, essentially. Shane coming back is like, what the hell, Rick? It's my woman. But you know, they thought Shane was dead, and Batman proves, though, that Batman's just a dick throughout this whole thing. But Superman's also kind of a dick in this, so I don't know. Point is, that would be way too adult slash soap opera-y for me. I don't. That's like a that's like an episode of I don't know, but too, you know, is it her baby, his baby, the type shit? No, I don't need that in my Justice League. So I hope it's Clark's baby, not Batman's. And yeah, but if they are going for some kind of injustice where it could actually fit in, if the nightmare sequence is an obviously injustice-based, injustice-influenced scenario that could play out, what seems to be like the worst potential that, you know, Bruce could ever imagine through his premonitions, then like, sorry, I forgot where I was going. So like, yeah, the injustice type stuff. That could drive Batman and Superman apart again and turn Superman evil, as if he learns that it's Clark's kid and they have another kind of Batman v Superman type thing. That would be rough to see a whole movie of just that. Then again, a lot of people are talking about now that there's HBO Max, you could just get an hour or two, get another miniseries like this. You can even get, you know, 3-hour chapters, whatever the hell, slap it on HBO Max. I said last time, Zack Snyder at his best storytelling wise. I don't consider him, unfortunately. I think he's a great visual storyteller, I'll say that. But in terms of like, this is where his strengths are, is not having a time limit of a feature. I think that his talents play out best in this format of just let them loose and, you know, whatever. So I'm all for some kind of, again, like injustice nightmare type, but I don't want to see more of that, to be quite honest. And evil Superman, them fighting, I want to finally get, like, you know, a lot of people were saying, and we'll get to that, you know, soon, is that we only get to see Superman in like the black suit in this and not a lot of, I don't think he's at all in the blue and red. Oh, at the, in the, That's what people were saying. In epilogue, he was in the nightmare sequence. So it's like, that's where he's supposed to be evil. Why isn't he taken off the black suit? And even at the very end, the shirt, open shirt sequence, he's still rocking the black. But I get it, because it's still, this is like an early Superman. So if there was supposed to be a Justice League 2, I get that. Whatever. I honestly, I would prefer the blue and red, to be honest. But I will also say that first viewing, I like Superman in this. I said that in review part one. Like, I for the first time, I've been open and honest. I have not liked Superman up to now. And now I do like him. And now it seems a lot of people didn't like him in this that did before. So I'm confused. But I also see what they're saying. So back to our chapter by chapter here. We have everyone having a role. You know, the Omega beams underwater. Okay, so then it cuts to Darkseid zapping Omega beams. Like, Omega beams underwater is something I never thought I'd see in live action. It was unbelievably beautiful. Sorry, I lost my spot here. I got to get better about this, especially when I'm live. The Dead Lantern in Nightmare sequence. I heard about this. I didn't hear it was in the Nightmare sequence, but I heard there was another lantern beside the more obvious one of the ancient, you know, the original fight of Invasion of Darkseid, when it's like the ancient people, Zeus and everybody. Sorry, there was obviously a lantern in that, but in this, there was one in the nightmare sequence just when they're pushing up toward the grand, like, super wide shot of everything, like the desert type shit that you end up seeing. Before you end up seeing that, there's like a bunch of debris, and I think the Hall of Justice is crashed down and stuff, and there's a dead lantern. I heard Kilowog was like obviously in this. I paused it a couple. It didn't seem like big enough to be Kilowog, but I didn't have time, to be honest, to, again, 4 hours to rewatch this as many times as I have. I didn't have the time to, like, study it, but that could be Kilowog. Check in. Let us know. At Batman BM Media. Or let us know if you join us here on Chizat. All right. So the Omega Beam, Dead Lantern. Heard someone say they spotted a Kilowog, did that. Zack Snyder's slow-mo. I think I said this last time too, but Zack Snyder's slow-mo works perfectly for the Flash. Like, you know, just seeing, I guess, parts in this that obviously weren't in 1 through 4, like, unbelievable stuff at the very end. Again, I don't like, as I said last episode, I don't like the motions of his feet. Like, when they show him a full body shot of him, I don't like that. But I like, I guess, waist up looks cool. I think Ezra Miller does a really good job that I didn't see, like, that he had the potential for in the last Justice League at all. Like, I think that his performance really brings out Barry Allen in a really strong way in this. You know, I was impressed. So, but once again, Zack Snyder, as much, and I bring this up because I, you know, as I did say last time too, it's too much of the, like, the ancient lamentation singing and the slow-mo and the Zack Snyder of it all, meaning these super slow shots and whatever, you know what I'm talking about. But for the Flash, it's not overdone. I also don't mind it for a lot of superhero stuff because he is giving us a splash page. So you do have to give him that leeway as well. Like, these are from comics. And we are seeing things that, yeah, even for action purposes, then, once again, with the Flash, but even on a smaller scale, like, shit's going really fast. Like, the Wonder Woman stuff's happening really fast. Fights happen really fast. Violence is fast, right? It's faster and uglier than we want it to really seem. So to slow it all down and be good at that, it really works, especially, though, for the Flash. And it's where I try to give Zack Snyder a break to an extent. Again, we already talked about the mustache-free fight with Justice League. If you want to hear me talk about that on last episode, I went into kind of some detail on that. But I did hear people talk about Amy Adams' presence in the JL theatrical versus this, like that they preferred her presence in that. Because meaning like when they have, when he, Superman first is resurrected and fights Justice League, when Amy Adams is who, or say Lois is who kind of brings him his confusion and he realizes who he is and everything, like people said in this, it felt a little more contrived that it was, but I don't think it was, because wasn't she getting coffee, right? And it had, but it, they might have even been saying the coffee thing was more contrived than theatrical, when I think it was Batman who called her in, and it was cool to give Batman more credit than just Batman like essentially standing there waiting for something bad to happen. It's like Batman is who orchestrated Lois Lane to show up. That is cool too, but once again, we have to consider production. This is a production issue of the, you know, Zack Snyder made this before the Justice League, so that could have been a Justice League edition. Silas sacrifices himself to make the mother box trackable, so that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, obviously it's not cool. The scene is heart-wrenching. I was saying last time, you know, the guy who plays Miles Dyson, I believe it's Joe Morton, he is just does such an amazing job. And like, it wasn't just to try to destroy the mother box. It was to hit it with enough heat that it would be able to be trackable. And then they could find it and figure out where it was in Russia. That didn't get explained at all, being in Russia in the Justice League. Does get explained being in Russia here, or wherever they are, where that power was, where Steppenwolf is set up shop. All right, Clark's. He gets land on the Kent farm. After he comes to, he needs to rock a shirt, but we do need to see him with a shirt off, obviously, for a little bit. And then he gets his black suit, right? Before that, of course, Ma Kent comes to the farm and they reunite, and it's all touching. Justice League comes to the Batcave. Badass, Alfred. So they come down the elevator, the freight elevator. Flash is like all enthusiastic. He's like, whoa! And of course, Aquaman's like, it's badass, Alfred. He's like not as bro-y, nearly as bro-y in this as he is in Aquaman, but he's still got like some bro-y things going on. And we'll get to one of the bro sequences for sure. But I like seeing how they react. And of course, Wonder Woman's already been there, so she's just like hits Alfred on the shoulders, like, what up? And then nothing. And what's his name? Alfred just steps back, like, what the hell? And of course, has a funny little line, you know, I'll make the tea. I don't know where we're going to get the cups. It's, when else do they have company? You know, Cyborg wants to hack into the Unity. Now they're getting into their proposals for a plan to stop the Unity, which would allow them to take over Earth and allow the entrance of Lord Darkseid through the boom tube onto planet Earth and take it over. So in order to prevent that, Cyborg wants to hack into one of the mother boxes, which I don't know if I said this last time, but definitely this is Cyborg's movie for sure. This is like, if you had to pick whose movie it is Cyborg's. And that's perfect. Like, I wanted that. It's exactly what I wanted. It's cool that this is a movie that I was talking about, the economy of storytelling last time for this movie, of including his origin with explaining how the mother box works. And like, you take all these moments of exposition that you're going to need, even in a 4-hour movie, and you condense it into like, all right, we'll explain parts of Victor's origin with this while explaining what the mother box does, while explaining how it can play into a greater Justice League story. And I just think it's just really smart writing and filmmaking. So, ooh, two thumbs up. Look at us. So Cyborg wants to hack into the Unity, but Wonder Woman's like, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Like, you could die. And he's like, yeah, we could all die if we don't. And it was also, I think, good storytelling to make it simple for everyone. Like, they go into the sci-fi of it all, but, you know, enough moments to like say it in English. And Barry Allen's like, so worst case scenario, what happens if we fail? And they're like, Darkseid takes over. He's like, oh, okay. So, you know, aliens invade and take over. No, what does he say? Genocidal aliens take over the planet. And so, yeah, like that's what would happen if they fail. So Cyborg's like, I'm good. I can do this. But it's, once again, I think seeing they all kind of have these roles, and Wonder Woman and Bruce are kind of the mother and father of this whole group. She's obviously the oldest, but he's, I guess, the second oldest. So it's cool to see her kind of being the mother figure and being like, you sure? Like, the you could die. And he's like, I'm willing to do it. He honestly doesn't have much to lose, as he keeps saying, too. He doesn't really have a body left, and his family's gone. So then we get the trailer-filled line, I don't care how many demons he's fought or how many hells, he's never fought us, not us united. So Affleck, of course, delivers it far better than I do. That is not my Affleck impression, but I'm just, you know, doing the line. That's a dope line, and I didn't like it really in that first trailer. In the movie, it really works. And Affleck's voice, I wrote it down somewhere else in my notes here that, like, him, you know, cowl off even when he doesn't have the voice changer, which I think the voice changer is brilliant, but him without the voice changer is fantastic. Like, he does such a good Batman, like, not Bruce Wayne trying to play the billionaire, you know, him not bullshitting, him, the real Bruce slash, you know, who really is Batman, but the real Batman, Wayne, you know what I'm saying? He has a great voice for that, so... He doesn't overdo it once again. I just think it's perfect. You know, we talked about the Ma Kent reunion last time after Clark gets his shirt. I like the scene when they all approach, or actually they're still separated at this point, at least from Clark, but they approach that bat thing. I forget the name of it, but it's one of the bat jets that couldn't fly before. And you know, Bruce was like, I couldn't get the best of Wayne Aerospace to, you know, best Wayne Aerospace engineers to fix this thing. And Cyborg was just, you know, when he first meets it, he's like, it wants to fly. And then it pays off in this scene when they were like, oh, you got it to work. And he goes, it wanted to fly. I just thought it was a good line. He goes, flight's in its nature. And then even Batman's like, it's in yours too. Kind of could have done without the Batman line, but. It was good. It was still good. But how do you know, sir? Right after that, Alfred, you know, cause Bruce is going like, look, Clark's part of this plan, but I know he's going to show up. But how do you know, sir? Faith, Alfred, faith. You know, he's standing there in the, I think at that point he does have the tactical suit on and he just like puts his arms out, faith. I talked a lot last time about how I think this is a perfect way to go, like overdose this Batman with faith, operating on faith, considering who he was last time. He was a dick, complete dick last time, right? So I think overdose the faith there, and I have no problem with it. You know, I mean, I do still have a problem with BVS in and of itself. I don't agree with a Batman whoever who's, you know, torturing and branding people and killing them left and right. But if you do at least try to explain it in this, a lot of people I've heard since are like, you know, in reviews and stuff are like, oh, this Batman is just still such a dick. Like, like he was saying that even buying the bank, that wasn't even a nice thing to do. He's like, if this Batman was a good dude, like, why wouldn't he just buy the farm? The buying the bank just makes him more money. Like, why wouldn't you just buy their farm and give them a bunch of money? It makes no sense. I don't know. I was probably just for a good DC line about Batman, maybe. He is a billionaire. Maybe he just wants to keep making money. This is how this guy makes money, is making money. So Steppenwolf sinks the three boxes. So we're lined up. We're worried, right? Because even though Miles Dyson... Silas Stone, I should say, marked the mother box, and now they know where it's going. They still have to both wait for Clark and get to this freaking thing. Steppenwolf's got it set up, though, with the other two. The final one, again, was the mother box of man. And also, they set up this defensive dome that Steppenwolf's able to create over this power plant. So they have to, in their plan, penetrate the dome as well as... obviously then infiltrate stop the unity, and hopefully Supes shows up. This is what I was saying before. Bruce's voice without the voice changer is so good. He's just so damn good. I noticed when they were on that Batjet thing, and I forget the name, but and it's right before he puts on the cowl of the tactical suit, and he's just talking to all of them, and I noticed the voice. I was like, he does a good job. I've said throughout, this isn't my biggest choice for Batman. I'm not saying, like, this is my Batman all the way, but if this is where they were going with the character, I think this is, once again, a fantastic follow-up. So I do get excited even for – I never minded the tactical suit either. So, like, I knew it was just for – as long as it wasn't the main suit, I don't care what he wears for one final showdown of a movie. Like, it's just for one tactical event. Like, this isn't how he patrols Gotham. We even saw that in the epilogue. He's not rocking that shit, like, around Gotham. So I had no problem with the tactical suit. I even think the bug eyes look kind of badass. We have someone in the chat. Too fun. Ben Affleck is still Batman. Yeah, dude. I think I've always liked Affleck. I've always liked Batfleck. I mean, I shouldn't say I've always liked Batfleck insofar as I liked BVS, but I liked Ben Affleck as Batman. And I think most people did. Very few people walked away from BVS going like, man, Ben Affleck sucked. That was kind of a unanimous criticism of that movie, which was ironic because so many people were kind of reacted like I did. Not like I'm right for that, but I look at Affleck, I see Batman. Like he does such a good job, especially and his Bruce Wayne work, even in BVS that I don't like, once again, the whole movie, it's like him in the gala. Every Batman movie has to have a gala. Him at that Luthor gala, his perfect Bruce Wayne, like absolutely flawless Bruce Wayne. So, Stephen Wolf once again sinks the three boxes, sets up the defensive dome. Clark gets his black suit, chooses his suit. So, we talked about his two fathers double voiceover last time. I mean, it was just absolutely gorgeous hearing Kevin Costner and Russell Crowe. You know, you have Jor-El and Pa Kent back and forth. You know, you're going to be a symbol for hope for these people. Then Pa Kent, you were sent here for a reason. You need to realize what that is. And then you hear Russell Crowe, tell us what that is. And they just go back and forth. You're like, oh my God, you know, get ready. And then he's just like, fly. And he just fucking flies. The way he takes off, the way the rocks, I love that, like, earth shaking takeoff thing that he does. It's really good. Some people, I was surprised, more people than I had thought don't like the black suit. Like, they're not like against the black suit, they just aren't super into it. I love the black suit. I think it's fantastic, especially for the Superman we've gotten. This guy has been, like, again, kind of a dick. Like, this is the universe of these heroes, at least starting off as huge dicks. And kind of turning it around, it seems. So, like, I don't mind that he's rocking the black. I really don't. I would have liked maybe a scene or two of the red and blue more. But I get it. If he planned for a second movie, you know, I have no problem with him rocking the black for most of this. So, yeah. I was going to say, the black suit looks amazing. Of course, it symbolizes his darkness in this, as we just talked about. Complaints about the blue-red. Then there's a JL suit-up sequence. It's not, like, extended or long or anything. I think there could have been a couple more fun close-ups. But, you know, Bruce throwing the Aquaman, or the Atlantean trident to Aquaman, him catching it. Bruce starting to put on the goggles and all that shit. It's a great suit-up sequence. So that's a lot of fun to see everybody suit up. Suit-up sequences, if you don't know, are my favorites, among my favorite things in Batman's story. So I don't – I was talking about the variant before. I don't like how everyone keeps saying Bruce on the comlink. Like, I understand that you're not in public, but – still, like, you, like, meaning you're not in a city, so civilians aren't hearing you. But Like, how is Bruce Wayne not telling Barry Allen, Batman, asshole? Like, don't say Bruce on the comlink. I just think it speaks to, once again, that secret identities are not that big of a deal. I mean, the movie opens with Bruce Wayne openly going, like, I am Batman to 30 Icelandic people, to a whole village of Icelandic people, and then giving them $25,000. So it's like, I guess you could consider that hush money or something, but that's a big risk, I would say. I don't know, whatever. Batmobile headlights coming on were so badass. Like, you know, the parademons are locked up in the dark part of that Batjet thing. And you just know at one point, because we haven't seen the Batmobile, or just that the headlights are going to come on. You don't know when. And then they just, we just smack right into like five parademons, mow them down. This scene was great. It really was. Like, all these parademons, Batman racing through like this, you know, radioactive wasteland of a town. Obviously, it's like them responding to all the criticism of BVS, of like, or of Man of Steel, of how many buildings got destroyed. Like we saw at the end of BVS, how no one else was around. This was another example of like, make sure there's no collateral damage. So we're in another place like that where there's zero collateral damage. And but Batman just racing through one of these, you know, old Russian towns or whatever, and like all these parademons are just latching onto the Batmobile. And at one point he has to spin out and then goes in reverse. Oh my God. And again, the parademons, I was saying this last episode, they are still video game villains, meaning like these are the villains where there's like 1,000 of them, and they're never very compelling. There's only so much you can do with a friggin' parademon, but it's still like, I think they did a great job with them in this. They made them believable enough and like tactile and powerful enough that, you know, they're ripping panels off of the Batmobile. They end up ripping the door off of it. So like, I don't know. That was just seeing them interact with the Batmobile. These are just some of my favorite things ever. Parademons, Batmobiles, and how he has to spin out, go in reverse. And then some of my favorite things visually ever to see, not in real life, of course, but in movies, are like a car's tire either getting blown out or it getting hit with a missile and flipping, like you know what I'm saying? Like an abrupt stop and then a bunch of flips. The Batmobile does exactly that. It's like one of the only redeeming qualities of the second Matrix movie is a bunch of that happening. Does exactly that. And then Batman, of course, does the ejector seat, which as a Bond fan as a kid and just bat gadgetry overall, I love the ejector seat. So that was a lot of fun to see that. And it was just so sick too. He shoots up out of the ejector seat and then shoots the grapnel and just flies down. It was badass, man. Throughout that too, when Batman's racing through, like, he hits a parademon with his car and it goes flying and one of them gets impaled. There's a big close up of it. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't need the impalement or whatever. I think that's the word, impalement. I don't need the impalement necessarily, but I think that it's cool, once again, to make your video game villains that much more believable. Seeing all five of them before they bust through that building, I believe that's the final building before they have to get to the final boss. And it's just all five of them, big ass splash page. So gorgeous. Like, and then before that, Aquaman and of course the Zack Snyder, he goes, he kind of freeze frames and goes slow-mo for a second, very much like the, that scene in the beginning of Age of Ultron, which is, that scene alone is worth watching Age of Ultron at any time. I'm just going back and watching that. but yeah, when Aquaman surfs the parademon down the building, and this was in the Justice League, gets a parademon in the air, kills it, surfs it through the air, down a building, and then jumps off of it onto the street. And of course, it's followed by the obligatory hair flip, surfer style. Bro, that seems badass. It was ridiculous and insane, and just so full of testosterone and madness that I loved it. That's Zack Snyder at his best. Once again, love seeing cars flip, Batman ejector seat, Aquaman impaling two parademons at once. Like, okay, that was badass. Batman's on a mission in Halo with those alien guns, so Batman's got to pick up some alien guns. I don't know if these are the Kryptonian guns that he had brought, the one that, like, Alfred was shooting at the gauntlet, the energy gauntlets that he needs. I don't know if they look kind of like those Kryptonian guns. Either way, this whole time, Batman's on the outside taking out parademons, and it's like he's on a mission in Halo, right? He's got to, like, run up to the especially when he ran up to the turret and he's taking him out. I was like, oh, this is Batman and Halo. This is awesome. Then we have the bridge fight at the reactor. So we have Cyborg, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman. The Steppenwolf shit talking, so like that he does to Diana, you know, being like, your sister's better than lives, just like your mother. That was rough, dude. I was saying that last episode when he confronts her. Yeah, because he says something to her before that, like earlier on in the movie. He says something about the, you're stronger than your sisters. And so basically in two lines, or like one line, he tells him that he's like, I invaded, I killed most of them, and I took their mother box. What? As I beat the shit out of you. Aquaman and Cyborg team up to make that shockwave. That was dope when they first approached Steppenwolf on this bridge fight. We got a very broed out scene. And before he does the classic Atlantean trident drop to the ground shockwave thing, Cyborg does some shit, and it's like a double shockwave that, of course, throws our boy, not our boy, our enemy, Steppenwolf back. Then Wonder Woman cuts the bridge down with a gauntlet and shield. That was sick. I think she held up her, it looks like she held up her shield, which already has her left gauntlet or whatever was holding the shield. And then she hits it with her other gauntlet. And I think that like the power that would have gone forward all just went downward, and that split the bridge. I'm almost positive that's what she was doing there. That was insane. Never seen that. Cutting down stone bridges, or, you know, gigantic cement bridges of reactor. Teaming up to pull down Steppenwolf with the lasso of truth. So first Aquaman helps her out, and then I think one of the other guys jumps in the lasso of truth, pulling down Steppenwolf. I mean, this shit is just gorgeous, like straight out of comics, but so badass to watch. I mean, he really did a good job with, you have a glowing lasso of truth. What is it? The lasso of Hestia? Is that what it is? You know, Steppenwolf, and you have Aquaman of all people, and then you have Wonder Woman of Themyscira. It's just like all these characters coming together, but we forget because they just make it so badass looking, I think. That was really sweet. Batman's still outside playing Halo with the parademons. Whole time Barry's running in circles to charge up for the mother box. Superman eats the axe shot from Steppenwolf. So finally our boy shows up. And just eats this axe shot, just stands in front of it, and it just like taps his shoulder. That axe that was just taking out everyone left and right before in the Justice League, our boy just, it hits his shoulder, and then he blows on it, you know, freezes it with that blow shit that he has. And then that was so sick too, that in the process too, Steppenwolf, that was intended for Cyborg. Like, he was about to take out Cyborg as Cyborg was shutting down or hacking into one of the mother boxes. You know, again, legitimate complaints that Superman really doesn't show up until the end. We're in, you know, most of the way through part six at this point, and Superman's just getting here. So I do get it. I get the complaint, but is it too dark over here? No, it's not too dark. It's not too light, but it's not worth getting up and changing our lighting here. So, sorry, Superman, Wonder Woman watching Superman. So she's a warrior at heart, right? I mean, she's all about the fight, the war. From moment one in 2017, Wonder Woman, she's like, which way is the war? Bring me there. So as Superman, upon return, is just laying waste to Steppenwolf, just ruining this dude's day. He zaps off one of Steppenwolf's antler with his, you know, eye beams. But the way Wonder Woman is watching Superman just pound the ever-living shit out of Steppenwolf is priceless. Like, there is a moment where you just see Gal, and she's just like, loves watching this. And it's even with, what's even funnier too is that Superman's back is to her. And he's just pounding. It's so great. We do get nods to the old school Kirby Fourth World hexagons in the boom tubes, like this style of, like on my tattoo there, my ripoff of the Fourth World there. But it's cool seeing the some nods to stuff that I think I'd seen it on my like second viewing, but I heard someone point that out and I was like, oh, I got to talk about that. I'm not sure if I had yet. When you see the boom tubes come down, you see like a bunch of hexagons running through as patterns. Looks really cool. Darkseid opens the tube. So now Barry has to both heal and run the speed of light in time to turn back and prevent the Unity. So while he was charging himself up for all this shit for yet another Mother Box intervention here, he has to turn back time. He has to heal because he got the wind knocked. He fell. And he's got to heal and then also get to the spot in time and make sure he turns back in time. This sequence was like, I think I was saying last time, I can't believe they got me to care this much about Flash, or this Flash. I love Flash, but this Ezra Miller Flash, that was just kind of like whatever. Snyder Cut, like, did the work, and not just because they just did the right work, I guess. They really... I don't love the character still. I still can't stand how the suit looks, and I think he could be a little less annoying. But again, we're seeing the dude before he's even the investigator. We're seeing such early Flash that I guess we could give him kind of a break. But this sequence was amazing when he has to turn back time because, once again, Darkseid opens the tube. So the Unity was complete, and at a certain point, they all thought, like, all is lost. There was just, like, a couple beats of all is lost. Barry heals up and starts running back in time. And as he's running back in time, the world starts, like, the ground starts forming in front of him. That shit was so visually sumptuous. The ground coming back to life as he goes back in time, as I wrote here. Unbelievable. And then as he's saying that, this is what goes back to the stuff with, again, what made me, you know, made us care so much about him. I had a criticism last time, and I still have it with this, that there was no follow-up on Iris, and I really would have liked that. I mean, unless you knew who Iris West was, you wouldn't have known who the hell that girl was that he saved. You know, it's like, and you couldn't have even referenced her in the beginning, gotten a name drop at any point. Like, at no point could you have said whatever. So those are the complaints that I was talking about last time, but the stuff that made us care about him was the stuff with his dad. And you know, he's like, make your own future, his dad telling him that. And then of course that theme tying in with Cyborg's father, and you know, some criticism since has been a lot of voiceover in this, and maybe that is right. But I do like that either way that Flash's kind of themes tied in with Cyborgs for an overall theme tie-in. So you make your own future, which is what exactly, of course, what Barry's doing in this moment. That shit was unbelievably cool. And then as he's doing it, Cyborg, because again, all is lost, and things started to get wiped out, and including, you know, people, characters. So when Barry brings back the people, Cyborg's face, like, it wasn't like liquid blood, but red just is being put back together. Like, you're seeing all the blood and guts and stuff. Not guts, but you know what I'm saying? Like, his face is coming back together, and you're seeing it in a really weirdly graphic rewind. Very Zack Snyder, very well done, I thought, though. Cyborg, so Victor has a chance to essentially take the blue pill at one point, which I thought was really cool. And I didn't quite, I remember the scene visually. Again, this is 4 hours, so it was hard to, but like until the second or third time, I didn't quite notice that. But this was really cool that like Victor does have a chance to essentially take the blue pill or whatever the pill. I always mix them up in the Matrix where it's, you know, take the easy way out. That Joey Pants does. What is El Collecto? Hi, I loved Superman's black suit. Me too, man. I was saying, like, I absolutely love the black suit in this. You know, some people were saying that they would have wanted more blue and red suit, and you know, that the black suit is, you know, it shows his darkness and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's been dark. It makes the black suit for Henry Cavill, not Henry Cavill, but, you know, this version, this Man of Steel. So I agree, El Collecto. And too fun. Overall, Justice League 2021 is greater than 2017. Yes, definitely. Oh, you're asking me? For sure, too fun on chat. Yeah, 100%. It doesn't even compare. I mean, sometimes it's like the only reason to even bring up Justice League is going like, oh, we've seen this before. We haven't seen this before. Like even in my first, I do, of course, talk about it. But as I'm saying like right now, it's not to just go like, look at how much this thing sucked compared to this one. It's just more of it was like, oh, did we see this at that point in time? Oh, we hadn't even met these characters in 2017, or how did they place in the continuity? So that's where I think about the comparison the most, but it's not even a contest. I mean, that movie was a dumpster fire. Like, theatrical Justice League is an absolute dumpster fire. It does have its moments, but yeah, it's not for me at all. I don't think it's for most people. But yeah, sorry. So Victor has a chance to essentially take the blue pill. The mother boxes are corrupting his mind in this part. And I just thought that was really cool that he had this moment to, like, you know, go free and give up on being a hero, which for someone who had nothing to lose and then could have gotten it all back via like them hacking into his shit, I guess that would have been, you know, this super ancient yet super high technology hacking into his consciousness and convincing him that he's now in this essentially matrix with his, you know, family matrix. But he's just like, he fights it back and he's just like, no, I'm going to be the hero. Oh, that's so good. Which tied in with what his real father said, not this fake projection of, you know, you are now, join the brave ones, like the ones of now, the ones that are going forward, not the people of the past. So yeah, this, he and Superman break apart the unity. I thought that this was a great callback to the ancient fight that I mentioned before when it's Man, Themyscira, and Atlantis fighting the first battle v Darkseid. When Zeus is there, and oh, and I think I said is that I think I said Zeus and Ares were both 100% CGI. They were not, and I didn't, I know I said 100%. I just said it looked like, because I think they scale-wise, they're like 23 feet tall or something crazy like that, which makes sense because there's Zeus and Ares. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but they are definitely way taller than everyone else around them. And they're like lit up and stuff. I mean, it's Zeus. So it's heavily CGI'd character is what I kind of meant to say. I shouldn't have said 100% because that's very misleading. I did, however, in the meantime, see a video of the guy who played Zeus, and he's an absolute monster. Like, he is Zeus. It's like, how is this a real human being? This is just insane bodybuilder. But yeah, so like the this was a cool callback to that, because in that battle it was Zeus who broke up the Unity and allowed the three mother boxes to again break up, and one go to Atlantis, one go to Themyscira, one go to the mother box of man. So if not for the power of Zeus, like, even though they had stopped kind of Darkseid and everything, it's one thing that, you know, Victor was able to break into the mother box and all that stuff, but he still needed raw power to bust open the Unity. And fucking who else but the American myth, who's based on, if you're going to look at Greek myth, it's Zeus all the way, baby. Like, Superman is Zeus. Of course, he's based on, like, Moses and other characters and stuff, but, like, he is the Zeus of American superhero myth, right? So, like, you know, he's of the sky, he's the most powerful, he's, like, the main dude of the DC. So I just love that. That had to be deliberate with Zack Snyder's obsession with the Greek gods and all this stuff, and DC as gods. That had to be deliberate. El Collecto, Superman is my favorite in his movies. I feel like I am more emotionally invested in his story. That's a good point. I mean, they do make him in a lot of ways more emotionally accessible, because they don't play him as the Boy Scout. I mean, the Boy Scout's harder to relate to. The big good looking, you know, Boy Scout's harder to relate to than the guy who is pissed off and alienated. More of us feel that way than we do as good looking Boy Scouts. That's a good point. For me though, I kind of want the Boy Scout, but I do like that at least this is a good, I think, intro to that character. And since he's still a young Superman, you know, hopefully they can build up toward the hopeful guy that we all know. El Collecto, I also read that there is a reason for the black suit. Maybe it would have been better if we were told or shown why it is important. Yeah, that's a good point. Too fun. Yeah, agreed. Superman is fucking sick. El Collecto, Zeus looked more like Hercules to me. Was it Hercules? Am I wrong? Because I know that one of the guys, I'm pretty sure it was Zeus, but because he was shooting lightning. But what's it called? The guy who played Ares from the first movie, and that was him. Like, he came back to do it. So I thought that was cool. I didn't know that originally when I saw it. But yeah, I think in Greek myth, Hercules is son of Zeus. So that's a good point. Could have been. He and Superman, or he could have been fighting there at least on the battlefield. Triple handoff of Steppenwolf's decapitation. Like, are you kidding me? How sick was that? Aquaman stabbing Steppenwolf through the back after one of his lanterns gets zapped off by Superman. Aquaman holds him up in the air, impaled. Superman charges in. Hadouken! Punches the crap out of him, I think is what he does. And then Wonder Woman does this insanely stylized, like, flip and just Hassan decapitates the already de-antlered Steppenwolf through a boom tube. We're not done. For Darkseid, his former master, to then just stomp his boy's own head out. That was one of the most, I don't know what that was. It was so badass. Like, so badass. It's the only way to describe that scene. Like, a lot of people that I've listened to since have said, like, I don't need all this kind of blood and violence and decapitation from my superheroes. It's definitely not the DC I would write and create. But once again, look, we're three movies in. We know who these these are the characters they've introduced us to since Man of Steel. Just keep it going. You might as well. Zack Snyder is really good at this. Clearly, this is what he's interested in doing, is showing decapitation and impalement and whatever. I mean, it looked amazing. And you're killing Steppenwolf. You're not just like killing, yes, he's a sentient, but, and it's also, these aren't, those beings don't have the same values as Batman does, right? You can't like equate them with Batman. Diana is a warrior. You could say that she doesn't have, she could have a no kill rule, but even that's debatable, much more debatable than with Batman. So, El Collecto, it was Zeus, but he reminded me of Hercules. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was almost positive it was Zeus, but no, you're right. I mean, look, Hercules is, again, I'm pretty sure it's the same exact family. I think it's his son. I should know more about Greek myth at this point, being a philosophy major and obsessor of DC Comics. So Darkseid, I thought it was really ballsy of Desaad. I told you Steppenwolf would fail. Like, would you ever say I told you to Lord Darkseid? Like, what are you, fucking nuts? I mean, this guy is just asking for it. Then again, they might just have some kind of relationship in this that Desaad, you know, the dark side just lets Desaad talk to him that way. I don't, that made no sense to me. Like, you are asking for it, talking to him that way. But it was still, I mean, maybe that's why he keeps him around. Maybe Desaad's honest and he deliberately, like, he's the one guy that keeps him around. Again, this is where I have some, I've definitely read some of the old school Jack Kirby Dark Side Fourth World stuff, but I haven't, I'm not 100%. Let us know in chat, or let us know if you know app at Mambia Media on Instagram. If does Darkseid kind of keep Desaad around because of his honesty and doesn't chop his head off either or stomp his head out for his brutal honesty there? But yeah, Desaad's like, look, I told you, dude, this Steppenwolf guy was going to fail. That's a good setup, though, for part two. Like, that means a part two, and as a lot of people were saying. But then I've heard since, like, there was a trilogy at some point, Justice League trilogy, and that's what ended up at very first. It was part two, two parts. Then it was a trilogy at some point. This is where, along with my comics, I'm much more of a animation guy. You know, I'm not an expert necessarily of the live action kind of history there with what was supposed to be of this movie, but now I'm hearing more about a trilogy. So even more of a reason why, like, look, Steppenwolf, no, he wasn't a big character, but they gave him a story, and this Darkseid was, I was saying this last episode, like, Darkseid was in enough of this for me to go, like, all right, I know who's the boss in this. I know we're dealing with Darkseid. I've heard of Darkseid. If you want to make this one about Steppenwolf, next one's about Darkseid. So it's just good setup that, you know, he's like, ready the armada. I didn't notice this line from last time. We will use the old ways. So does that mean the old ways are like, I'm going to get my own hands dirty? Or does that mean, I guess, versus the Boontubes? Like, is it going to be like the same type of invasion that he had done with like the ancient invasion when they all just literally show up in those big, by the way, I mean, come on, Darkseid, you're ruining the environment, the carbon footprint of those things. All the smoke that was coming out of those things in the ancient. That's probably what that means, though. It's probably that same armada instead of using boom tubes because the mother boxes are destroyed. Now I'm thinking out loud. I don't know. Let us know what that's about. So now we'll hit the epilogue, and we're out of here, people. So, again, I talked about this last time. I'm not going to get into all this, but beautiful voiceover from Silas Stone, like, with all the themes, you know, the now is you, be among the brave ones. The world is hurt, broken, unexchangeable, but the world's not fixed in the past, only in the future. And then, of course, as I was mentioning before, Barry brought that back and then physically brings it back, and that saves the world, which is a great writing, I think. Brian Choi, director of Nanotech. So I was like, when he said that, and then he goes, well, yeah, that's your thing. And he goes, yeah, that's my thing. I was like, that's got to be an Adam character. But I didn't know about this Ryan Choi guy because, again, I don't do my comic homework, I guess. He is kind of one of the most recent Adams. He's a created by Gail Simone in DCU Brave New World number one. And he is the third superhero to be the Atom in the DC Universe, at least according to the ever-reliable Wikipedia. But I do know that, yeah, Ryan Choi is one of the new Atoms. And so, like, oh, my God, Zack Snyder, you're giving us an Atom character? And then apparently it was in Zack's plan or somebody's plan. There was a rumor that, like, they were going to do a Ryan Choi Atom movie and it was, like, going to take place in China and shit. Are you kidding me? Like, finally a friggin' Asian superhero set in China? That would have been amazing. I want it. Give it to me. I'm telling you, with HBO Max, you could just make that new series. Do what Marvel's doing. 10 parts, 8 parts, 7 parts. It doesn't even have to tie in with the rest of the DCEU. Just make it. Just make it. Just make it. Just make it. Make it. Here's an idea. Just make it. Again, definitely go back while we're talking about the epilogue, since this is where a lot of these themes, and also were rightfully criticized, I guess, were voiced over and delivered to us by Silas Stone. Or maybe those were at the end of 6. Maybe now I'm bleeding them together. But yeah, this whole thing of, like, how'd you get the house back from the bank and the pregnancy? So the pregnancy, man, I mean, we talked about it before. We mentioned it before. That's a lot to think about, dude. Like, if Lois Lane, let us know in chat or Batman BM Media on Instagram. Let us know if you, in the Injustice, I know that Joker kills Lois Lane, but I'm pretty sure she was pregnant, right? Wasn't she pregnant? So that could be the setup for the nightmare type shit. But please don't do this love triangle, this bat triangle, this bat love triangle. I don't want it. I don't want it. And how'd you get the house back from the bank? I bought the bank. I don't know. I do see if you want to interpret these movies in that literal sense, and I don't blame you for doing it. I mean, they are. But yeah, Batman could have just bought the farm back and so he buys the bank. So, you know, but that's probably just for that exact line. That's my interpretation of it. That's just funny writing or fun billionaire Batman writing. So we talked about Batman and the Mutants. That, you know, when they're going character to character and how they're kind of all moving on, letting go of the past. So Diana grabs the arrow of Artemis, and she's, like, looking toward possibly getting back to Themyscira, letting go of kind of her grieving and all that stuff and her anger toward her past. Flash, of course, all the stuff we already talked about him. Superman is now looking forward. Batman, the Batlight goes on, and Batman answers the call. But we talked about that the mutants are in front of, tied up in front of the War Machine. Like, is it War Machine? Is that what he calls it in the Bat Tank in Dark Knight Returns? That was so sick to see. Like, they don't do close-ups of him, and it is one of those things that, like, someone online found it. But those are the mutants in front of that giant Bat, you know, Dark Knight Returns mobile. So that's pretty funny. And makes sense that this is an older Batman, that if now Batman is taking calls, like, it's in a Dark Knight Returns-esque era. Oh, man, that is just so beautiful. Legion of Doom, once again, so we see, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but, like, Aguinaldo looks great. I'm excited to see that. This was what I was saying last time, the first time that Jesse Eisenberg didn't piss me off as Lex Luthor. I would never prefer it. But, like, He's way better than he was in BVS. El Collecto, old ways means, oh, okay, here we go. Old ways means without the mother boxes, but how has he been doing this conquering since he lost the mother boxes on his first attempt conquering Earth? Right, without the mother boxes. That's what I was figuring. Thank you, El Collecto. Yeah, that's a good question, too. I mean, how has he been conquering all these other places? Well, I guess Steppenwolf, he sends him in. Steppenwolf's his bitch. But yeah, good question. I don't know. If there was this part two that was supposed to happen, if not part three, then now I was unaware of. Apparently, a lot of this stuff would have gotten answered. You know, you fall into the thing I was saying this before about let BVS off the hook for things that are in this that I like, but it's so each movie does have to explain itself to a certain extent. So I do get some of these complaints, but I still think that this movie, of all the things in the DCEU, Snyder Cut has done the best job in going, like, as its own unit of storytelling, like, within itself, it explains a ton. Obviously, it's 4 hours, but, like, it also, you know, is set up for other stuff. It explains stuff before it, but it's also its own good story. Whereas I don't think, like, people let a lot of the DCEU off the hook because they're like, oh, we haven't seen the next one, and that's a setup for this guy, and blah, blah, blah. And like, dude, just tell us who it is. What is the big... But yeah, anyway, so this Legion of Doom thing, I love, you know, Jesse Eisenberg finally isn't pissing me off entirely. I still wouldn't prefer it, but it's a toned down Lex Luthor, which I think they were saying too, like, you know, Manganiello's like, I hear your whatever you, some metaphor for crazy. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, the doctors in Arkham helped me out with that. So now he's more sane. I think that's a really funny, like, that is totally Zack Snyder reading Twitter and going, all right, you hated Jesse Eisenberg. He was way too annoying. When he's in Arkham, the doctors are going to change his personality too. Not annoying. So Jesse Eisenberg, like, just believably enough, because he is a great actor, just took that old shitty character, took down and shaved his head. I could tolerate this guy. And so... I talked about last time with this. We definitely covered it, of course. You can't not, because that was an overview review. But, like, how – if you're going to do – so Lex Luthor's incentive for Deathstroke to kill Batman, you know, he volunteers to kill Batman pro bono, and it's – and Lex Luthor gives him the identity of Batman, and it's like – is that even a threat in this universe anymore? Batman's given away his own identity in Iceland. Like, who even cares about that anymore? Also, what was... Yeah, this is my exact complaint about the end of BBS, was that Lex Luthor knows it's Bruce Wayne. Like, that is so... Why would you have your Lex Luthor know Bruce Wayne is Batman? Ugh, it always pissed me off, and I don't like how that's continued in this. But at this point, I don't even know if it matters. Like, I just think that'd be good for a... And a lot of people are saying, like, how sick would it be to get a Batman v. Deathstroke HBO Max movie? Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. I'll take a miniseries. I don't care. I don't care. So we're almost done here, guys. The nightmare finally pays off. Like, I was saying this last time that... it's such a glaring thing in BVS. Why this completely random scene where Batman has a machine gun and people are dying, and like, look, I'm not even getting into the no kill rule. I let that go the second I didn't let it go, but I still don't. But like, my point is that my problem with this scene isn't all the killing. It's just all the aesthetic differences. Clearly, it's like it was kind of a dream, but wasn't. And then Barry kind of comes to him in this weird, you know, Lois is the key. We don't know what it is. And then none of it's covered or explained. Whereas it's completely explained. Not completely explained. And this is where some people were definitely critical. And I'm just trying to play devil's advocate because I like it. Like, I do. And here's where I do agree. And here's some of the points. Like, pretentious. Yeah. I think it's pretentious too. But, like, don't you think a lot of this movie's pretentious? Like, you sat through Icelandic, like, native singing as a woman was sniffing a sweater. And even if you were someone to criticize that, pick another scene that you're – a lot of this shit is pretentious. I mean, Chris Nolan movies, were you a Nolan fan? That dude's is, you know, old school. He will not shoot on anything but film to this day. Come on. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it was kind of pretentious. But – and people were saying the way it was shot was very pretentious. And the stuff with Joker played into that. I'm like, well, first of all, the whole thing is a nightmare. So it's someone's bad dream. So it would be weird style. Like, you don't – if it's a nightmare, if it's a dream well in a nightmare – your vision of the things is going to be distorted and weird, and like it's going to be darkly almost psychedelic. I would shoot a nightmare in a weird way if I was shooting a movie. Like, I don't know. I don't see how the stylization of that, plus the whole movie stylized. Like, you want to get into stylization problems? Like, this movie's, I don't know. Not that. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, you want to get into things being stylized or being pretentious because they're stylized. This is the wrong movie to criticize. People said we just really didn't need this. They were saying, I'm pretty sure some people were saying that this could have been part of the, you know, six parts. Wherever you put it, it had to have been there, like, at some point. You did need to kind of explain what it was. And I think it did explain a lot. Like, the fact that we got a whole movie about Darkseid and then we're reminded that, like, oh, that's that big symbol. Even though we didn't get much Omega symbol, like, symbology in this movie, we now know that, like, that was a vision of Darkseid having taken over with this Injustice version of Superman as one of his minions, it looks like. So, like, what's – now that we know that, you know, getting, even though it's very short, I do think needed a couple moments of that for one of the most glaring storytelling problems in BVS. So I'm open to hear more criticism of it, but I just don't understand. I do understand the criticisms of Joker. People were saying that it was way too, that especially was pretentious. Jared Leto as Joker. That's all I'm going to say. Like, if you didn't think that was going to come across, Jared Leto as Joker in the nightmare sequence, so in a bad dream of a Zack Snyder movie. A Zack Snyder movie that's not presenting a bad dream is a lot of people's bad dreams anyway. Like, a lot of people can't stand Zack Snyder movies. But look, like, I like them if they're made a certain way. Clearly, again, I like this. I'm defending this. I'm just saying that, like, if you knew ahead of time, especially, you know, because I feel like some of these people, here's what would confuse me the most, is if these people were ahead of time going, like, I like the pictures of Jared Leto as Joker in the nightmare sequence. Ooh, Jared Leto Joker nightmare. Can't wait. And then they watched it and were disappointed, or they're saying it's pretentious, or now they're saying it's, you know, I get it to an extent. I just don't know what you would have expected out of that. I just don't. Like, that's, yeah. It kind of played out exactly as I thought it was. Very creepy. I do understand the criticism of who else would give you a reach around. Like, yeah, that was kind of unnecessary. It didn't need to keep itself in there. People were saying, like, it. That's trying to be, like, way more badass and messed up than it really is. I don't know. I said last episode, that sounds to me like real-life banter that a demented, murderous villain would have with his, like, arch nemesis. You know, he's breaking this guy's balls and talking to him as Joker would, I think. And I know you don't have to include some mega R-rated version of how Joker would talk, but this is the wrong movie to complain about that in. Like, we just saw decapitation and all this R-rated Zack Snyder shit. You knew months ago this movie was going to be R-rated. I have said before, R-rated is not how I would do my DC universe. So that's where I'll agree. I don't need any of this. It's just, we got it. I understand the world we're in. I don't know where the surprise slash shock slash like, you know, and apparently that was one of the lines that I'm assuming that was one of the lines that Jared Leto improv, one of the few that got through any kind of improv. I'm assuming everything is very close to script with Zack Snyder, but like, and many people didn't. Again, I understand if you don't want an adult version of these superheroes, then I don't think you would have liked most of this, is where I'm confused, is what I'm saying. But yeah, I don't like when things are over-stylized or pretentious. I agree with that. I just didn't get much of that here. I don't think that like 100% of the Jared Leto stuff was perfect. I don't. I could do without a lot of the dialogue in this movie. I think it's way better than a lot of the stuff that we've gotten before, but it's not like the dialogue in this movie is, you know, knock me unconscious, like amazing. It's not that great, but I still do think that for a very short version of Joker that we got, and for this really dark, I don't like the Batman stuff. I understand people criticizing it going like, because other people were apparently saying this is the best Batman and Joker ever put to film. And some people said, apparently, it's the best thing ever put to film is this nightmare sequence. Both way overrated. If you think this is better than like the interrogation sequence in Dark Knight, I'm sorry. Like, that just can't be true. So look, I'm not saying it's like the best thing ever, even the best Batman Joker ever. This also is very much not my Batman. But I also know, once again, it's been paid off. He woke up, which is what we'll get to right after this, is like the guy woke up from a K nightmare. Like, I don't know. It's whatever. I'm not trying to just defend it for no reason. And I don't think that Jared Leto was perfect. This is where Amber Heard, her accent work really is glaringly bad. So look, I don't think it's the best thing ever put to film, but I do think that it's an interesting stylistic shift because once again, it's like almost a hallucinatory nightmare. And it's a reality that they're hoping to prevent. That's not this. It's not even their continuity. Like, it's a continuity they want to prevent. So even though, even they know it's something they don't want, so just go with it. I don't understand what, like, all the bloody, gory, weird stuff that's happened. Like, we literally got Batman's dick in comics in, you know, that DC Black Label recently. And more people than I know, not that I know, but, like, from what I saw of the reaction, it was more like people either shrugged about it or didn't care. And it's like, all right, then why is hearing Joker say that like so, you know, oh man, you know, I don't know. I just don't see the difference is what I'm saying. I'm not saying I like it or prefer it. I just don't see the difference. All right. Slade's mohawk, some people I heard say that was really stupid, looked terrible on Joe Manganiello on Deathstroke. I thought it looked badass. You know, I disagreed. I liked it. I like Jared's Joker in this movie. I know Warner's is saying they are not doing any more super... This is from El Colecto again. Sorry, I know Warner's is saying they're not doing any more Snyderverse movies, but if they change their minds, I would love to see this nightmare story come true. Yeah, I mean, that would be a fun miniseries. Just, you know, like, you get two parts, 2 hours of nightmare. That'd be dope. I mean, Jared Leto can act his ass off. He's like one of the greatest method actors ever. And I'm not saying he can't be in pretentious stuff. He's been in plenty of pretentious stuff. He seems to be that way in real life. I don't know the guy, but from what I hear, then again, these are like extreme people. You're not going to be a method actor and be like a normal dude. So I think the idea of pretension needs to be kind of maybe gauged a bit when you're talking about like what is pretty much intended to be a very artful, weird, hallucinatory thing. So I agree. I would like a weird DC dark mind trip. Again, for the millionth time, it's not what I'd prefer, but if they've already had the Snyderverse and Jared Leto's already this good at doing this, I would like to hear more criticism down the road about it, though. Like, as more and more people see this, I want to see people's response to this Joker. I liked it. I did. I didn't like the Batman stuff, as I said last time. Like, I will fucking kill you. Like, I didn't need that. I'll go with people on that. But again, they're trying to prevent that reality. That's not the real Batman. So what if I thought this was a beautiful scene with Martian Manhunter right after this. I said this last time too, that, you know, he comes, shows up at the lake house right after Batman wakes up from his K nightmare. And he hears like the boom, the sonic boom of his arrival, walks out onto that deck thing of the lake house. Some people were saying that this is something obviously I hadn't heard until, you know, since last episode, that could have kind of been any alien. And apparently, like, they shot it originally to be a lantern, and then something fell through, or they made it possible. Like, they left it open where they shot it such that Bruce could be talking to either a lantern or, like, because he doesn't say anything about him being a Martian. Bruce doesn't say anything about anything that's like, you are John Jones or anything like that. So I think that, I don't know. I mean, it's still the scene played out amazingly. Some people also said that the CGI wasn't great on that. They think that that's where the CGI wasn't as good. That was probably part of like the reshot, like what got was in the reshoot budget, or I should say the, you know, digital budget. But a lot of people think that it's also, that was the reshoots, was the lake house scene, because Affleck looks amazing in that scene, like way better than he does in most of the movie. So I don't know. Point is, that old scene I thought was really good. And for a movie that is to be the tail end of an epilogue of a 4-hour movie of going like, your parents would be proud of you. For once again, a character who was a total dick in the last movie, and still does some dickheaded stuff in this movie too. Like, for that, to get that like 100% Batman reminder of your parents would be proud, that's all Batman ever needs to know. Like, for him to, you know, sleep at night, if you will, if he ever could, and not have K nightmares, it's to know that. So like, him saying that and Affleck's performance, like as the camera pushes in on him, I thought was really good. Some stuff about Manhunter, you know, and this is the last thing I think we'll hit. I think we talked about this in the very beginning, but we already talked about the Manhunter stuff. I still liked it. Like, I love Martian Manhunter, and I think it was a setup for part two. And what I was supposed to be a land or not, wouldn't really have made a difference to me. I mean, I think that either would have been dope. But I do understand, I definitely understand the Ma Kent problem. Like, it wasn't necessary. That you could have introduced Martian Manhunter in another way. And we probably would have been cool to get a little more of him. It was a little disappointing to get that little of him, and kind of weird that you got him, but barely. But then again, I mean, we got 4 hours of so much other shit. Again, intros to 3 different characters, follow-ups to Batman's story, Superman's. Like, there's so much in here. Wonder Woman. Like, I don't know. That's where it's hard for me to accept that criticism of a lot of people saying, like, oh, I wish there was more Cyborg, or wish, you know, there was more Martian Manhunter. It's hard for me to walk away from this movie unsatisfied. I'm unsatisfied if none of this ever gets followed up. But again, I also do think that, as I was saying before, this movie does the best job of all the Snyder stuff of being its own story while also setting itself up for a sequel, while also paying off stuff before it. It's 4 hours unto itself. It's a giant epic. Like, to not feel satisfied, I've even seen people say I really liked it, but now that I'm wanting more, I'm unsatisfied. It's like, dude, How do you keep anyone happy? You don't. So I don't know. I don't think that any of the criticisms I said today are out of the ballpark crazy. Except for maybe best Batman and Joker ever. But beside that, I don't think anyone's like super wrong or whatever. I just think that, you know, these are our interpretations of these amazing stories and movies that we love so much. So that is part two. That is the epic conclusion to the epic that is Zack Snyder's Justice League here on Above and Batman Beyond. Thank you so much for joining us both in part one and part two. Again, if you haven't seen part one, please make sure to go back to that. If you're new here at the channel, again, please consider subscribing on YouTube. Click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. For the podcast listeners, please subscribe to the pod. You can find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And for both the pod and YouTube audience, please consider subscribing to both, since there's plenty of YouTube stuff you're obviously not going to find on the podcast and vice versa. Please also follow us on Instagram. We are at Batman Beyond Media, and we do frequent polls and Q's and A's on there, which we also bring into the YouTube and podcast shows. So be sure to follow us there as well. I have been Benjamin David.
We have no fear.
Oh, and sorry, we have one more comment. I tried going out smoothly this time. It never happens. It's all right. El Colecto, I am looking forward to seeing him in the Morbius movie. Yes, Morbius the Living Vampire. Jared Leto, that couldn't be more inspired casting. Maybe more inspired casting is, as we keep talking about, Miles Dyson as Silas Stone. But beside that, Jared Leto as a vampire for sure. He's a great actor. Again, I understand the criticisms of this guy, but I know what I'm getting into when I see a Jared Leto joint, and he is really good at what he does. So once again, thanks for joining us, guys. Thank you to El Colecto and Tufan for joining us on the chat. We got some people in the chat, people, telling you we're stepping it up here live on Above and Batman Beyond.